You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's
Miami Dolphins seen. Fans, how are you today? Thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, and this is part two of our draft series preview to get you ready for the 21 NFL draft coming up later this month. Joining me, as he always does on these draft preview shows, is our in-house draft expert, draft guru, Dante Colonnelli. Dante, how are you doing today?
Doing great. We got a couple of really exciting position groups to talk about. A real big one for the Dolphins with the wide receiver position. We got to spend a lot of time on that one.
That's the one we're going to be a big focus of this show. So on the last preview show we did running backs and the offensive line, two areas that are big needs for the Dolphins, obviously. Maybe not so much offensive line, but two places where they might use some high draft picks to help fix this offense. Wide receiver, we know they will. And when it comes to tight ends and quarterbacks, we're going to talk about them too, but the main focus will be wide receiver. So let's jump right into it, talking about this wide receiver group. Last year's wide receiver group in 2020, everyone said it was amazing. It's great. It's deep. You're going to get guys, you know, in rounds two and three that are really, really good. I think this year's class might be even better. What are your thoughts?
I think it might be better, too, which is just, I mean, insane to even think about, really. But this class is nuts. I've watched roughly 32 receivers in this class so far, and there are, like, names that I'm missing. Like, that's how big this class is. Like, I'd probably have to push it to 40, which I unfortunately do not have time for. But, I mean, this class is just insane. There is depth at all three levels of the draft. I mean, there's a reasonable situation here where the Dolphins come out with, like, multiple good players at the receiver position. If they want to take someone high and then take someone later in the middle rounds or whatever combination they want to do it, I think that there's talent throughout this draft. And you know, if they can't come out with a legit contributor, I think they should be a little embarrassed, quite frankly. And that's how deep this class is. There is just so much talent, so many different skill sets. It's really just been a joy to watch. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But, man, there's too many names. They're overwhelming me a little bit.
It is. And that's why we're going to spend a lot of time on this group right here. Let's start with the big three, because I think everyone sort of agrees there's three people. There's three wide receivers that are sort of a slight cut above the rest. And they are, in no special order, Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, and Devontae Smith. Now, how do you have those three ranked on your board?
Well, for me, it's Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and then Ja'Marr Chase. So I am a little bit different than the NFL consensus, which will probably have Ja'Marr Chase as wide receiver one. And for me, they're incredibly close. They're not separated by much on my board. Waddle and Smith are just inside my top five. Ja'Marr Chase is like my ninth overall player. They're separated by maybe a point and a half. They're very, very good. I think they bring different things to the table. And for the Dolphins, right, it's going to be about what do they value at receiver. You have Jaylen Waddle, who's an elite speed threat, an elite athlete. He's going to stretch the field. Very, very good ball tracker. He's a game breaker. I don't like to compare players, really. It's not my thing. But, like, you know, he's going to fill a Tyreek Hill-type role, right? Like, maybe he's not going to be as good as Tyreek Hill because Tyreek's one of the best receivers in the NFL. But that's the type of player you're hoping to get if you draft Jaylen Waddle. Devontae Smith, on the other hand, you know, he's more of like he's not built like Davante Adams, but play style-wise, as far as he can line up all over the field, and he's a very, very good route runner, and that's how he's going to win, as being a technician. That comparison, Adams and Smith, are very similar. Ja'Marr Chase is, you know, actually pretty close to a lot of the things that Devontae Parker does, as far as he's very, very strong, he's very, very physical, he's going to beat up corners, he's going to win above the rim at the catch point. The funny thing about Chase is that he's like 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. And he's just like an absolute, like he's just inhumanly strong, despite the fact that he's actually a shorter dude. So those three guys are tremendous prospects. And, you know, taking this from the Dolphins angle, which we always try to do on the show, is like, it's just going to be about what do they value, right? Like they're going to probably have their pick of the litter at pick six, maybe, hopefully we can talk about that. But, you know, they're going to have a couple of options at least. You know, it's going to be about what do they value? Do they want another catch point guy? Do they want to bring a guy in like Chase who creates separation with his body? Or do they want to bring in a guy who creates separation with route running like Smith, or a guy who creates separation with speed, right? So they're going to have their options. You can kind of interchange those. I don't think there's anything bad. I just prefer Jalen Waddle because I just think his tape is nuts. I mean, defenses are like trying to triple team this dude and they just can't because he's that fast. So to me, he's a real game breaker, and that's why I have him ranked higher than Smith and Chase.
Yeah, and I think all fans of the Dolphins have their personal favorites, but I think all fans of the Dolphins probably can agree. There's no wrong choice here. There's no bad choice here. They're going to come away, I would think, most likely, unless they do take someone like Pitts, who we'll talk about later in the show, they're going to come away with one of these three guys, most likely. And there's no bad answer. You can't be upset. If they get Chase, you can't be upset. If they get Waddle, you can't be upset. If they get Smith, you can't be upset, because Miami needs help at wide receiver in the worst way. And all three of these guys will help in some way, shape, or form. It improves the group. It improves Miami's offense. It gives them a level of explosiveness that they are missing. So there's no wrong answer, excuse me, with what Miami does at pick six if it happens to be one of those three guys. Again, every fan's going to have their favorite. What Chris Greer thinks, nobody knows. But if he does end up taking one of these three guys, just tip your cap and say, good pick. Because honestly, these three kids are amazing wide receivers.
I totally agree. I don't think that there's a wrong answer here. And that's why I was so happy when the team traded back up from 12 to 6. Because it puts them likely in a position where, you know, if the draft falls the way that we think it will, even if it falls a little bit differently, which it obviously probably will, given the nature of the draft, they're going to have probably at least two of these three guys on the board when they get on the clock, right? So, like, they're at least going to have options. And that was kind of the benefit of trading back up to six. And like I mentioned earlier, it really just comes down to what do they want? You know, like, do they want a route runner? Do they want that elite speed threat that the NFL is trending towards, you know, or do they want Jamar Chase, who's a little bit more of, you know, the standard outside X receiver? Then there's nothing wrong with that. I just think I think the other two guys have a little bit more juice, not a lot, just a little. And that's why they're ranked just slightly ahead of Chase. But like you said, I don't think you can go wrong. I don't think any three of these bad players would be a bad pick. And, you know, the reality is that, like, look, all three of them are going to be substantial upgrades at wide receiver two. You know, if it's Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith, right, they're better than Preston Williams will ever be. And then you get a guy like Jalen Waddle. I mean, he's probably the best slot this team has had since, I don't even know, I can't even come up with a name. Like Jarvis Landry, technically, but like completely different type of slot receiver. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, just any three of these guys will be a massively, massively needed upgrade. And that's really all Dolphins fans should care about. That's what the draft is for. Just upgrade. Get better. And the Dolphins, by drafting one of these three players, will get better.
Now, let's talk about these three in particular as it relates to the top of the draft. I think we can all agree picks 1, 2, and 3 are going to be quarterbacks. And as scary as this is, you know, you often hear wide receivers, one of those spots where you usually don't take them high in the draft. That's a spot where you can wait. You know, high in the draft, you want your quarterbacks, your offensive tackles, your pass rushers, cornerbacks. This year, it ain't going to be the case. There's a legitimate case. All three of these wide receivers are off the board by pick 7. Legitimate case, because Miami at 6 and the Lions at 7 are both taking wide receivers. So that means you only need one of them to go at either 4 or 5. And there's, you know, a lot of chatter that Cincinnati, you know, yes, they need offensive line help, but they might wait on offensive line and go wide receiver 5. There's a good chance these three wide receivers could go 5, 6, and 7 right in a row.
Yeah, there really is a good chance. And I mean, I think that there's a chance that even more receivers go in the top 10, depending on how much, you know, faith they put in some of the testing of some other guys that we might talk about. But Yeah, I think those three guys are going to come off the board. You know, when Chase ran the other day, you know, I tweeted, I was like, he's not getting past six. Like, that's going to be Miami, or that's going to be the Bengals.
Yeah,
I don't think one of those teams are going to take him off the board. I don't think he's going to, like, you know, when he ran, you know, that number, like, that was a surprising number for him. I think people thought he'd run well, but probably not that well. I don't think he gets past six. I think the weird one's going to be Smith, right? Because, like, I mean, I don't care that he's probably like 160 something, but like the NFL teams might, you know, and he might fall. I really could see that. I don't think he'll fall too far, but
he won't fall past 12. 12,
I agree.
The floor, because Philadelphia, if one of these three fall, Philadelphia is ready to pounce, because once again, they need wide receivers in the worst way. Giants probably wouldn't take a wide receiver. Cowboys wouldn't take one. The Broncos, who the heck knows what they're doing. Panthers, they might, although I doubt it. But he won't fall. All three of these guys will be off the board by 12. But I think they're going to be off the board far sooner than that, actually.
I think they definitely deserve to be. Again, it's just like, man, I never put it past the NFL to, like, be the old school scouts who really, really care about, yeah, you know, like, so Smith's going to be a weird one. I could see him falling a little bit, but it also wouldn't shock me if Detroit was like, nah, he's the Heisman winner, a 4-year Alabama guy. He's a real kneecap biter and we're going to take him at 7. You know what I mean? Like, that also wouldn't surprise me. So it's going to be interesting. But like you said, yeah, I think like 12 is the absolute floor. All three of those guys will definitely be gone by then.
And Smith, I go back and forth on him. If he went to Miami, I'd be perfectly fine with it, because I do think he's a great route runner and, you know, he's got speed. He's a heck of a player. But the size thing does concern me a little, and I know everyone points to Marvin Harrison. That's great, but if you got, you know, the NFL has been around 150 years, and if your only example is Marvin Harrison, that might be an issue. you know, so I don't know. It is a little concerning to use a high pick on someone with that frame, but once again, the league has changed, and this game is always evolving, and it might be going to where you can't even touch these wide receivers anymore. It might be going to a guy his size being just totally fine, not an issue. So, yeah, Smith is the interesting one, because the people who love Waddle, and I've heard some people who just rave about him saying he's the best one in the class, like you and Waddle. So we'll see which order they go up. I do think Chase goes first, if I had to guess. But once again, it really does come down to personal preference and what you're looking for in a wide receiver. And nobody knows. I think Cincinnati, if they go there, obviously Chase seems logical. Miami, they could go any one of them, any one of the three. Nobody knows. And Lions would just be happy to get one. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about the rest of the group, though, because this is a deep group. After that, in no special order, I think the next grouping is Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall, and Kadarius Toney. Would you say that's like that next grouping?
Yeah.
Or is there somebody I'm missing?
I would add Rondale Moore as well from Purdue.
Okay.
But yeah, those would be the next guys for me. Rashad Bateman's my wide receiver 4, Rondale Moore at 5. Then I have Terrace Marshall at 6, Toney at 7. And then I have Moore a little bit further down the board, but the way that it's stacked, I mean, they're right on top of each other, essentially.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting prospects. I'll start with the two guys that are easier to explain, and that would be Bateman and Marshall. Look, they're ex-receivers. They bring a lot of, you know, vertical route running to the table. Bateman's one of the best pure route runners that we have in this class. He's incredibly smooth, quick, out of his breaks, explosive, has good hands. He's not very tall. He's only about 6 foot, but he's got really long arms. He's got a nice catch radius. He's capable of making plays at the catch point. Terrace Marshall's one of the best straight line athletes in this class. He is incredibly smooth for someone his size. So that's going to be a really interesting one to see how teams value him, because he's very much like a throwback X receiver, the type of guys that we saw dominate in the NFL for so long. That's Terrace Marshall, but he's got a lot of juice. You know, he ran under, I think he ran like a 4.38 or something. I mean, everyone's running under a 4.4 this year. So he probably ran closer to like a 4.45, but even that number and his size is incredibly impressive. So those two guys are your X receivers. You're going to bring them in. They're going to line up on the outside. Marshall's going to win with physicality, catch point prowess. Bateman's going to win as a route runner. The other three guys, Tony and Moore especially, are very, very similar football players. Tony's like 5'11", Moore's like 5'9", but they're relatively the same size, the same way they're built. These two guys are slots. They're slot receivers. That's what they are. There's nothing wrong with that. Slot receivers matter. Great. They're both very, very sudden, explosive, shifty players. Some of the best yak players in this class. And you know, I bring this back to the Dolphins. Dolphins were one of the worst yak teams in the NFL last year. I mean, it just could not create any yards after the catch. And that's why some of the numbers for Tua and even Ryan Fitzpatrick at times look so bad, because they throw a 12-yard pass and instead of it turning into a 20-yard pass, just be a 12-yard pass. These guys are going to create yak opportunities. I mean, they're just blurs in the open field, very, very quick, really good route runners, the type of stuff that the Dolphins really, really need to jumpstart this offense. And then you get a player like Rondale Moore, who's also probably a slot, but he's one of just, I mean, pound for pound, right? Like, he's like 5'9", 180. The dude squats like 600 pounds or something. He's nuts. I mean, when you consider athletes, he's one of the best athletes I've ever scouted, period. I mean, I've seen him run over defensive tackles on drag routes from like 2018 when he was a freshman at Purdue. He's like out here running over Draymond Jones, who's on the Broncos now, right? So like, that's the type of athlete that you're getting with Rondale Moore. Incredible speed, really, really good ball in the hand player, you know, good contact balance. You have to worry about injuries with him. You know, he's been an often injured football player. You know, he's been on and off the field a lot at Purdue, had a weird situation this year where Purdue didn't really say why he wasn't playing. And then he just kind of started playing again and nobody talked about it, which was very weird. But more on the field and in the, you know, you're not going to find a better athlete. You're not going to find, you know, a better speed threat in this draft outside of Jalen Waddle than Rondale Moore. So weird players, very, you know, they're stacked close together. I imagine they all come off the board between like 12 and, I don't know, 40 probably. I think they'll all be top 40 picks at like, that's like the bottom there, I think, for me. Really, really impressive players. They bring different things to the table. I think the one thing that they all have in common is that they're all fast. Like that's kind of the one thing that brings them all together. All of them can move. All of them can separate. And that's the big thing that I think the Dolphins should be looking for.
Yeah, and these guys would be in play if for some reason Miami went with something else at number six. Say they go with Penei Sewell, or say they went with Micah Parsons and sort of shocked everybody and didn't go wide receiver or even Pitts at six, and they went with some other position. Then a pick 18, all these guys are in play for Miami because they still obviously need to address the wide receiver position. So these would be guys Miami that would be on Miami's radar at 18 or even pick number 36, to where if they went somewhere else at 6 and 18 and they have an addressed wide receiver, they would still get a very good wide receiver at pick number 36. Again, it's an approach. It wouldn't be the one I would take, but it's an approach for sure that if they wanted to, like I said, go Penei Sewell at 6 if he happened to fall, and at pick 18 find an edge rusher, hey, at pick 36 we're still addressing wide receiver and getting one who's pretty damn good. So that's something to keep in mind here, because as we know, when it comes to the draft, surprises happen every year. Guys go where way higher than they should, or teams do something that just comes out of left field that nobody sees coming. And with Miami, that, you know, there's been times where they've made trades out of the blue and moves out of the blue that nobody saw coming. So just something to keep in mind. There are other teams in round one, wide receivers kind of needy. I think Tennessee, for sure, at 22. They obviously lost Corey Davis. I think the Jets, even though they signed a couple guys in free agency at either 23 or 34, could obviously add another weapon because that offense was absolutely abysmal and needs a total facelift. Jacksonville wouldn't hurt with a young quarterback to find him a good weapon at 25. Ravens at 27, always looking at wide receivers. So there's going to be a bunch of teams. I'm trying to think. After 12,
Green Bay could use one.
Yeah. But I'm thinking above there, like from pick 12 on, Philly, Chargers, Vikings, Patriots could at 15.
Patriots could use
one. Patriots could, but that's about it. So after from 12, between 12 and 18, I'm not sure, maybe the Colts, I guess. I don't know. But
football team needs one.
Washington football team, yeah. So, wide receivers are going to go, and they're going to go quick. But if for some reason Miami waited, they're still going to get one of these guys who's very good. A couple other names I want to throw at you that have been sort of making some noise. Tutu Atwell from Louisville and Dwayne Eskridge from Western Michigan.
I'll start with Atwell. I am not a big Tutu Atwell guy. There is a there. You know, we talked about maybe not caring about the weight of Devontae Smith. And I understand that, you know, Tutu Atwell is like 5'7". The dude's shorter than me. You know, at least Smith is like pushing 6 feet tall. And Atwell is incredibly, incredibly light. He's about 155 pounds. He clocked in his pro day. And he didn't run that fast. That's the concerning thing, right? Is Atwell's whole game is built around, he's a speed guy. He's kind of like what I described earlier with Rondale Moore, a manufactured touch player. Get the ball in his hands and let him go make plays. And that worked at Louisville, that worked in the ACC. I'm just not so confident that's going to translate as well to the NFL, given that he's shorter than he was listed at, he's lighter than he was listed at, and then he ran slower than I was expecting. So those are two, you know, those are some red flags for me. Now, taking that aside, on the field, he does look very fast. He's very quick. He's good with the ball in his hands. He can create big plays. He's not really much of a route runner. You're going to have to kind of develop his tree as he goes and kind of develop him as an actual slot receiver rather than someone you're going to let run reverses to. You know, he's much closer to Hakeem Grant right now as far as that type of player. And Grant's even come a long way with his route running. So Atwell's a bit more of a project for me. I'm a huge fan of Dwayne Eskridge. He's going to finish probably as a top 10 receiver in this class for me. You know, out of Western Michigan, he's also a smaller kid. You know, he's under 5'10", but he's dense. You know, he's like 190-ish, 185. So he's pretty dense for his size. He tore up the Senior Bowl. He's already a very good route runner. And that's one of the advantages that I give him over a lot of prospects in this class. I think he's a really good route runner. He's clean and smooth out of his breaks. He's explosive. He's precise. He's a very, very good ball tracker. He's incredibly fast. He ran under a 4.4. He's really, really an impressive athlete. The other thing, too, and this is kind of what I didn't love about Atwell and what I do like about Eskridge, Eskridge is tough as hell. Like, he can take a hit or two and he can doil them out, even though that, you know, he's a smaller guy, but he's compact. And he's well built and he's very, very physical. He showed a couple of really nice plays where, you know, he was able to jump up above the rim and make a play at the catch point like he was 6'2". I mean, he's a very, very impressive athlete. So Eskridge is a guy, again, you're taking a shot on a kid from Western Michigan, right? Like that's always, you know, he's a bit of a project, but he's far less of a project, at least in my opinion, than somebody like Tutu Atwell. I think you get a better route runner, a tougher player, a denser player. So all around, I think Eskridge would be like, you know, I think he's probably a third or fourth round guy. But I would not be surprised if he comes out and is productive early just because he's such a good athlete.
And here's another name. And I have to sort of set this one up and give it a preface. Chris Sims, I heard one day talking about Tyami Brown from North Carolina as the third best wide receiver in his class. He doesn't understand why nobody's talking about this kid. He thinks this kid's going to be a bona fide superstar. Now, once again, it's one person's opinion. Chris Sims does watch a lot of tape. I'll give him that. He does. You know, I don't agree with a lot of what he says when it comes to how he ranks players that are either in the league or about to enter the league. But I don't know if he's this kid's agent. But he talked this kid up in a way I've never heard anybody talk up a kid before in my life. So I want to get your opinion on Tyami Brown out of North Carolina.
He's very good. I like Tyami Brown, and he's outside my top 10, but that doesn't really have much to do with how I feel about him and just has more to feel about, like, this wide receiver class is nuts. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a really good class. So I really like Tyami Brown. I think he's very, very good. Top three receiver in this class, though, I don't know about that. Brown is an interesting one where, you know, he's kind of similar to Jamar Chase in a lot of ways, right? Like, they win down the field. Brown is less of a catch point guy, but he's a very, very good vertical route runner. He's going to separate on nines, posts, comebacks, curls, those type of things. He's going to be very, very good. You know, where you worry about him overall is just like, you know, he's kind of small. He's fast, but he's not the fastest guy. You know, and he's just like, he's good. He's a good football player. He's a good vertical threat. You know, he's going to catch deep balls. He's going to average a high number of yards per catch. He's just not overly dynamic. He's not a bad athlete, but he's not a great athlete. There's a ton of very, very good skills that he brings to the table. But for me, he's just a little bit limited in that He's not going to dust guys on routes. You know, he's not going to, you know, cross someone up at the line of scrimmage and, you know, run a really, really nice, you know, 10-yard dig and catch the ball and turn upfield and score. Like, that's just not him. You know, he's got juice. He's not slow. I'm not saying any of that. But he's also just not the caliber of athlete that some of the other guys in this class are. And that's kind of the way the NFL is trending. So I think Diane Brown's really good. You get him in a vertical passing offense, which I don't really think the Dolphins are going to run. So I'm not sure if I love that fit. But you get him in that type of offense, or you get him in that role where you adapt the offense to fit his skill set. Yeah, he's going to be a good football player for you. You know, very good wide receiver too. Can take reps from you from all different spots. So he's a good football player. But top three is a little bit rich for me.
Yeah. So who are some sleepers here in this class? And here's one name. First, one more name, and then we'll do the sleepers. And let's talk about Amari Rodgers out of Clemson.
Yeah, Rodgers is he's built like a running back, and he kind of moves like a running back. He's very, very good with the ball in his hands. You want to get him the ball quickly. So he's kind of the Rondale Moore, Dwayne Eskridge type players. I have Eskridge and Rodgers graded very, very similarly. They're basically right on top of each other on my board. Rodgers is a guy who is he's a pretty good route runner. He's got good speed. He's a good ball tracker. I think some of the things you worry about with him is, you know, he runs the routes that he runs well, but he doesn't run a lot of routes. So you're going to have to diversify his tree. You're going to have to expand his role early in his career. But if you can kind of get him reps, get him into the offense by throwing him bubble screens and quick outs and giving him reverses and different things like that, and letting him run, you know, posts from the slot against single high and kind of getting through there against cover two, trying to split the middle. You know, those are the types of things that he can bring to the table. So I like Rodgers a good bit. I just, you know, he's going to need a little bit of development. He's going to need a little bit of maturation in his game before he becomes a true game breaker. But you can get him into the offense, and if you manufacture touches for him, and his contact balance and his ability to make guys miss in the open field translates like I hope it will, he'll be an effective player early in his career, but you have to build that role for him. He's not going to come in and just fill the slot role all. You know, you have to build a specific role for him and get him the football in specific ways for him to be successful while you build the rest of his game.
Great. So who are some sleepers you got here? End of the draft, rounds 5, 6, or 7. 6 or 7. Guys who, you know, this is a deep class, so there's going to be a lot of wide receivers that go early. A lot of guys go at the top of the draft, but, you know, teams that might take a flyer on a guy, maybe as a returner who they can sort of turn into a wide receiver, or guys who might go undrafted, who there's something there. There's a skill. There's a trait. There's one thing that, you know, a team will fall in love with and be like, we can sort of coach them up on the rest. But that one trait, whether it's hands, route running, speed, who are some sleepers in this draft at wide receiver?
Yeah, I'll pull out a couple of names. The first one I want to talk about is Daz Newsome. He was the other North Carolina receiver with Diami Brown. Newsome is a pure slot guy. He's a good route runner, not the best athlete in the world, but he has good hands. He's good after the catch. He can get open. And like on day three, like that's the type of receiver that I'm looking for. You know, like, can you get open and do you catch the ball well? If the two answers are yes, then you're on my board for day three. And that's how I would describe Daz Newsome best. He did not test well. He did not run well. He's not the best athlete in the world. And those things are concerning. But if his route running translates and he's able to hold on to the ball, I think he can be a reliable chain mover in the slot, not a guy that you're going to run the offense through or be overly dynamic. But he's solid. Another name that I'll mention is Demetric Felton from UCLA. He's kind of a running back receiver hybrid, but he played receiver at the Senior Bowl and he balled out. Incredible athlete, very, very fast, quick in and out of his breaks. You're going to have to build his game kind of like that we talked about Rodgers, except you're going to have a lot more work to do because the dude basically played running back at UCLA. You know, there's a reason that they're bad, and playing people out of position is probably one of them. But Felton's a very, very good athlete. He's going to bring returnability to the table as well. Like you mentioned on day three, that's going to be something that teams look for. You know, Felton brings that. He's, you know, again, you're going to have to scheme up touches for him if you want him to be a big part of your offense while you build the rest of your game. But he's interesting. He's a good athlete. He's got good hands. He's very, very explosive. He's a playmaker. He really is just able to generate yards. He's able to make guys miss. So he would be another guy that I'd be interested in. But, like, I mean, we could sit here and talk for hours. Like, yeah, I could just go down
there's
the board.
Lot.
and name guys. I mean, you got, you know, I'll just throw a couple names out real quick, like Jalen Darden from North Texas, small school kid, but man, is he quick. He's very, very explosive. Nico Collins, I don't know how much of a sleeper he is, but we haven't talked about him. Great catch point guy, very, very good X receiver. Dax Millen, he was Zach Wilson's best target this year at BYU. He's a good downfield deep threat, brings value on special teams. I mean, I could talk for hours. There's just so many good receivers in this class, but those would be the ones that stick out to me on day three as guys that you bring in. You have a specific role for them. They fill that role. You know, they probably just give you 400, 600-ish yards, you know, total in their rookie season. Then you try to build out the rest of their game from there. But I think if you can get them in and put them in the right role, they can be successful.
Yeah, this is a great class for wide receivers. And if Miami takes one, like we expect, at the top of round one here, pick six, I don't think they're done. This class is so deep, you know, and with Miami having as many picks as they do, they could come back around four or five and look to add another, because I'm not sure what the long-term future is in Miami for guys like Parker. I'm not sure what the long-term future is for guys like Wilson and Hearns. They might want to totally blow up this wide receiver room and sort of start fresh. Will Fuller's only on a one-year deal after this year. Who knows what his future is? You got Preston Williams. He can't stay healthy. Parker's always nagging with injuries. This could be a draft that's so deep at wide receiver. Miami takes one at six, then maybe they come back in around three or four, try to grab another, and sort of build that wide receiver group for the future with some of the guys they already have, like Lynn Bowden Jr., and start to, you know, shift towards the future here, because what they got right now, Parker, when he's healthy, he's great. Problem is, you don't know when he's going to be healthy. Preston Williams has played 2 years. He's missed half the season 1 year and half the season the next year. You can't depend on him. And with guys like Hearns and Wilson and Grant, they're just guys. Nice players, but at the end of the day, they're just guys. So I would not be shocked to see Miami double dip, as they say, and go multiple wide receivers here in this draft.
I mean, I would just argue that they should do that outright. Like,
because it's just because it's such a good class. I mean,
yeah, you know, like it kind of just gets to the point where it's like, you know, we talked about this on the last show too. Is like, just like draft good football players,
exactly,
and go from there. If you're on the board, hell, if they take a receiver at six and they're on the board again at 36 and the highest ranked player on their board is a receiver, send in the card. You know what I mean?
This offense needs explosion. This offense is too stale, too slow. It needs guys who can make a play after a catch. It needs guys who can get downfield. It needs guys who can run a post route. And so, I mean, it needs guys who can stretch the field to open up the middle of the field for your superstar tight end. It needs guys who can stretch the field to help create running lanes and get guys off the line of scrimmage for your running backs. Help out the offensive line a little bit so teams don't crowd the box. It needs firepower. Needs a lot of firepower. So this
juice
is a draft. It does. It needs juice. This is a draft to address it. Now, before we get to tight ends and quarterback, Dante, it's that time of the show again where we have to talk about Manscaped. And with the first pick in the 2021 men's grooming draft, the Ball-Saxonville Saguars select Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Looks like Mel Kiper gave this an A-plus grade because this pick is a major upgrade for that Bush defense. And for all NFL fans and for all fans listening to this podcast at DolphinsTalk.com, go to Manscaped.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% on your order and get free shipping. Whether you make a small order for just $5, $6, $7, you still save 20%. You still get free shipping. It's like they're sending it to you for free. If you place a larger order and you get one of their kits and all their trinkets and all their, you know, products for like $30 or $40. Guess what? You still save 20% and they still mail it to you for free. Manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk. And they have such great products like the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant that ensures your balls smell amazing. And my favorite, the Crop Reviver, is a spray-on toner for your balls. Yep, you heard that right. It's made with soothing aloe with hazel extracts. And that makes your balls feel like Tom Brady after a little avocado tequila. So everyone go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and save 20% on all your orders. Now, tight ends. And unlike wide receivers, this tight end class sucks. And that's just saying it nicely. Dante, Kyle Pitts, how good is he?
He's as good as tight end prospects get, man. He's a phenomenal prospect. Like, he just does so many insane things on film. It's just kind of crazy. Like, you know, you turn on the Kentucky film and he's got, Kelvin Joseph across from him, a guy who's probably going to be like a top 75-ish corner. But he ran like a 4.3, right? Kyle Pitts comes up to the line of scrimmage at 6'5", 240, and dusts him. Like, it's not even like a competition. Just absolutely drops him with a great route and then outruns him to the end zone. Dude's like 6'5", 240. He's running like 4.4, and he runs beautiful routes, very, very coiled in where he can shrink his hips and just kind of explode out of breaks. Very, very good foot speed. And then, you know, people kind of like, I don't think they forget this, but like, he's 6'5". So you can just throw the ball up to him. Even if someone does happen to cover him, he's probably going to outreach him anyway. Dude's got vines attached to his shoulders for arms, and he just stretches out and makes these unbelievable body control catches. He was catching, you know, ducks from Kyle Trask this season, you know, that are like 10 yards, it looks like, out of his frame sometimes. He's just snagging them out of the air like it's no problem. Just an absolutely phenomenal prospect in every sense of the word. And I think a lot of people early in the process were like, oh, he can't block. Buddy, he's not that bad of a blocker. He really isn't.
And
like,
who cares?
Also,
he gives you a wide receiver. What he gives you as a receiver, nobody cares if he can block. You're not gonna line Pitts up with his hand in the dirt, and say, "I need you to really do a great job on this play." Who cares? He's a threat in the passing game. You want him downfield making plays. Right. I don't care. You can find other tight ends to block if need be. You don't need him to do it.
Even if you want to put him with the hand in the dirt, though, like, I think he'll be fine. I really don't think it'll be that big of a problem. I watch, like, between summer scouting and, you know, doing final reports this time of the year, right? Like, I end up watching like 30 tight ends that come out of college, man. I have seen some bad blocking from tight ends. Let me tell you, Kyle Pitts is fine. Like, he's just really, is he George Kittle? No, but who cares? He's fine. He's serviceable. He can block if you need him to block. And everything else that he brings to the table is just undoubtedly elite. He's an elite athlete. He's fast. He's big. His weight is fine. Like, there's really no problems with his game. You know what I mean? Like, there's really isn't any. Especially moving to the age of NFL that we are, where everyone needs to be a pass-catching threat, everyone needs to be a superior athlete. I mean, this is, you know, Kyle Pitts was born at the right time. This is the perfect time for him to come out as a prospect. He's absolutely fantastic. He's a top five player overall for me in this class. I don't think people understand how difficult that is for a tight end to be ranked that highly. Tight ends do not get that high. Kyle Pitts is a very, very, very special prospect.
I spoke to a guy in January, and this is a guy who's now on the radio, not in Miami, who used to run an NFL team. I can't say who it is. Used to run an NFL team, used to be a general manager, who told me in January, Kyle Pitts is the best non-quarterback in this draft, and it's not even close. Okay? He told me that in January, and now after his pro day and stuff, you see people out, you know, people have known he's great, but now you see people starting to be like, whoa, this guy's like amazing. Yeah, he is. And people in NFL circles have known about this for a while. And there is, let me just, so fans, so there's no confusion. There is 0.0 chance Kyle Pitts gets past number 6. Okay. He's going 4 to Atlanta. He's going 5 to Cincinnati, or he's going 6 to Miami. And if the Jets ever rolled out of bed and hit their head on the floor and decided we're not taking a quarterback, he's going number 2 to the Jets. So Pitts ain't going any lower than 6. He's that good. He's the real deal. And, you know, 6 would be his floor. 2 would be his ceiling in a crazy world where the Jets didn't take a quarterback. Because this kid has it all. And I don't want to hear no fans of the Dolphins say, but we already have a tight end. Good, now you got 2. Okay, now you got 2 really good ones. So there's no saying we already got a tight end, we don't need one. No, you don't pass on a kid like this, because you line him up next to the tight end we got, and you're going to see opponents have no answer to how to cover those two guys on the field at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that kind of brings the conversation, right, is I hear a lot of people like, oh, well, you know, just if you don't like the value of tight end, just call him a receiver. I don't know where this, like, problem with really good tight ends came into play where people don't think that they're worth anything. Yeah, there's, like, three elite tight ends in the NFL, right? Like, there's only three of them. It's Kittle, Kelsey, and Waller, right? Like, everyone out there's other good tight ends. Mike Gesicki is good. Zach Ertz is good. There's a bunch
of
others.
Mark Andrews.
Right.
Good, Mark Andrews.
They're good.
Good
players. Are they elite, though?
No.
Right? So how valuable is an elite tight end? I can sit here and name 12 elite receivers if I want to in the NFL. I mean, really. They're, you know, you got Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Antonio Brown if he's healthy. Yeah, like, there's a ton. There's three elite tight ends. Kyle Pitts could be four. And that is undoubted. He is significantly more valuable to you, to any team, if you play him at tight end rather than wide receiver full time. Not only that, he'll also be cheaper if you have to franchise tag him in the future. Chess, not checkers.
Yeah, and if he goes to Atlanta with what they have at wide receiver already and with the quarterback they have who can still play. I mean, he's still putting up numbers, Matt Ryan. That offense, to me, becomes very scary overnight because he could be a missing piece to make the whole thing kind of click. Cincinnati, if he went there, I totally understand. As much as we all – here's the thing people need to understand with Cincinnati, and there's been a lot of rumors. Since we already spoke about wide receivers, we can talk about this here because there's been talk Cincinnati could go Chase or they could go Pitts at number five. And I get it, and here's why. As our last show, when we spoke about the offensive line, this is a great offensive line class. Cincinnati's got pick number 38. If they want to go with a pass catcher at five, like Pitts or Chase or whoever, wide receiver, and then they're going to get a good offensive lineman at pick number 38, okay? So what's the gap difference between, like, say, Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater and whatever offensive lineman they get at pick number 38, as opposed to what's the gap between Pitts and whoever the pass catcher is they get at number 38. The one gap between Pitts and whatever pass catcher they get could be huge. But the offensive line one might be a small gap. It's like, okay, it's not Sewell, but this guy's still pretty damn good. So I get it why a team like Cincinnati, they can address two needs within the first 38 picks and still come out as okay, but they might just do it in a reverse order where they go, you know, pass catcher first, offensive lineman second. So I get it. So I know a lot of fans of Dolphins like, Cincinnati can't pass on Penei Sewell. Says who? Says who? Of course they can. If they want to take a guy who they think is going to be an elite tight end or a guy maybe they view Chase as an elite wide receiver, of course they can pass on it. Because guess what? There's more than one round in the NFL draft. They're going to get a good offensive lineman at pick number 38, and they'll probably be just the same coming out of this. So I think Pitts, is there a chance you think he falls past pick number six?
Is there a chance? I mean,
yeah, there's a chance, but like, is there a good chance?
Well, I think here's how it happens. Someone trades with Atlanta at four. Four quarterbacks go off the board in the top four. The Bengals take
Sewell,
and the Dolphins take Chase.
That's true.
I think that's probably the most realistic way that happens, right? And I mean, we just flipped two picks, though. You know what I mean? Like, we were just like, oh, somebody trades up to four. You know, like, who knows? Maybe Atlanta wants to stay there and take Kyle Pitts. You know what I mean? So
here's the thing with Atlanta. Their new head coach, before he was an offensive coordinator, was a tight ends coach. So if he doesn't take quarterback, he's probably looking tight end.
Right, and nobody used more tight ends than he did when he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. They ran more 12 personnel than anyone else in the NFL. So, and they have Hayden Hurst there, who's, again, one of those good tight ends, but not elite. And Kyle Pitts is definitely elite. So could he fall past seven? I mean, sure, but I would be surprised. I agree with you. I think he's going to come off in, you know, four, five, six. I think one of those teams is going to take him. And, you know, I would – if the Dolphins drafted him, I think it would be great. The only thing that I'll say about that is that you need to have a specific plan for every player that you draft to be successful. But if you draft a player like Kyle Pitts, you can't go out there and be like, okay, well, he's the backup tight end to Mike Gesicki, and he's going to play like 30% of your snaps. No. He's got to play like 85 to 90% of snaps.
Your offense just changed to where you're a two tight end offense on right. the field 90% right. of the time.
Not yeah. only are you a two tight end offense, right? And Pitts, again, you line it. If you don't, you know, if you want to put Durham Smythe on the field to block, put Kyle Pitts in the slot, kick Will Fuller to the curb. All right. Like that, you got to have, if you're going to draft a player like Kyle Pitts at six, and this is the only reason I am hesitant to say that I definitely want Kyle Pitts in a Dolphins jersey. I do, but like, I'm going to be honest. I do not have a lot of faith in the two people that they hired as offensive coordinators. Do not have a lot of faith in that staff to use a player like this. They're great with defenders. The defensive side of the staff is very creative. The offense, not. I don't have a lot of faith in those guys. I'm going to be honest. So Pitts is a player for Miami specifically, right? Because they already have Mike Gesicki. So they need to be a little bit more creative with Kyle Pitts. I would argue everyone does, but Miami specifically will have to. So if you draft him at six, like, look, man, he just became the best offensive player on your football team, or at least you have to treat him that way.
Oh, he is. Oh, he is.
I agree. Oh, I agree. Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, you know, you can't be like, well, he's a rookie. We're going to bring him along slow and we're going to back up. Like, I can almost hear Brian Flores saying those things in my head, and that scares me.
I know.
But man, if they took him at six and they were like, okay, we're going to take him at six and we're going to lean into this, him and Gesicki are going to be on the field together, you know, 70 to 75% of the time, and Pitts is going to be tight end one and play almost every snap, and, you know, we're going to use him in line, we're going to use him outside, we're going to use him in the slot, like, great, you know, fantastic. You just hit a home run. He's a great prospect. But you need to have that plan. You need to be able to, you know, you need to make that commitment. And I don't know if I trust the Dolphins offensive coaching staff to make that decision. That's my only hesitation at all.
Yeah, I'm with you, because when it comes to offense, last year it blew my mind when we were a team taking a quarterback at number five overall, and we hired a guy who had never been a quarterback's coach in his life to groom a rookie quarterback. That I didn't get it.
He needed a coach for the kid. He wanted Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, well, that was the offensive coordinator. I'm talking about the quarterback's coach, which was Robbie Brown, I believe. He's never been a quarterback's coach in his life. It's like, you're going to invest the top five pick in the draft. I want a quarterback coach who's been around the block a bit and who's done this job before somewhere else in the NFL to prepare a young quarterback to eventually be a franchise quarterback, not a guy who was like at some small school nobody ever heard of. Then he was at West Virginia for a little bit doing God knows what, but it wasn't quarterback coach. I know that. So there were, how they handle their offensive staff is a mystery to me, but they did win 10 games, as I said. They won 10 games. So you can't get on them too much. But at a certain point, you can't keep firing your staff every year on one side of the ball and just keep turning it over, because at a certain point, it's going to be a reflection on them. But whatever. That's a whole different story. So rest of the tight ends. After Pitts, will we see a tight end go rest of round one or at all in round two?
I think we'll definitely see one go in round two.
Is it the kid from Penn State?
It is. I think Pat Freiermuth, in a lot of other classes, would probably be a first-round tight end. He's very good. I don't, like, look, there's a big gap between him and Kyle Pitts, because Kyle Pitts is really, really good. But Pat Freiermuth is a very good tight end prospect. I think a lot of people are forgetting about him because he got hurt and he didn't play when Penn State came back this year. I believe he had shoulder surgery, if I remember correctly. He's very good size, 6'5", 250, very, very good route runner, good athlete. He's quick. He's fast. He's very good. Like, there's really, I mean, not a lot wrong with him. He's going to finish like a top 25 player on my board. He's very good. But he's got the shoulder injury. People haven't seen him in a year. So, and there's not a lot of teams that need tight end right now. So I'm not sure if we see him go in the first round, but I think he's definitely going to be a second round pick. He's a good prospect. He really is. Kind of similar in some ways to Dallas Goedert, who's on the Eagles now, who's been a very, very good tight end for them. I don't think he's quite the blocker that Goddard is, but he's got that potential to his game. Equally good athlete, similar size profiles. So Freiermuth's very good. After that, for me, like, I really like those two players. After that is where the real drop is. After that, I think you're just taking, you know, darts at the dartboard, and you're hoping you hit on a good athlete or you hit on a tight end too. This class, there's some people who disagree with me. I don't like this class. Like you said at the top, it's not, it sucks. I kind of agree that there's like two, maybe three and a half players that I really like in this class. And the rest is just like, not for me, not somewhere that I would be drafting players, especially for the Dolphins, who, I mean, if they take Pitts at the top, I mean, he's going to come into a room that, I mean, they already have four tight ends on the roster right now,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and they're all, like, not bad, kind of. So I think it's Pitts is the only tight end in this draft I think the Dolphins are gonna take. So could we see Freiermuth come off the board at the back end of the first round? Sure. Do I think it's likely? No.
The kid from Miami, Brevin Jordan. We have a lot of listeners, obviously, in the South Florida region. Brevin Jordan, you know, once again, it's a weak tight end class. In some other years, he wouldn't even be probably the third best tight end. And not everyone has him as the third best tight end, but most places I've seen have him at the third best tight end. I can tell by your groan, you're probably not a fan. So what are your thoughts on Brevin Jordan out of Miami?
Yeah, it's not that I'm not a fan. I like him for what he is. I just think that he's very overrated by a lot of the national media. He's a good athlete, and that's fine, and that's what plays right now. If you guys watch Jonnu Smith on the Titans, he's basically a carbon copy of that guy. I don't really like player comps, but like they are scary similar in usage, in athletic ability, in body type. They are very, very similar. And Jonnu Smith's a good football player. The Dolphins are going to play against him twice a year now that he's on the Patriots. But, you know, Jonnu Smith took like, you know, 3-4 years to really become that type of player. And I see that same type of rawness in Brevin Jordan. I don't think Brevin's a very good blocker. You know, I went to bat for Kyle Pitts as a blocker. I think Kyle Pitts is a better blocker than Brevin Jordan, even though he's significantly lighter than Brevin. I don't think Brevin's a good route runner either. He was just, you know, the Miami offense in general was really not very good for most of his tenure. And he had really bad quarterback play, but you know, his routes were like, they were just like, go run to open space and we'll throw you the ball. And he was like, okay. And that's what he did for 4 years or 3 years. And it was fine, but like, you know, limited sample size, not a good blocker, not the best route runner. I have questions about his hands as well. I don't think he catches well through contact, which scares me for a tight end, but he's a very good athlete. You get the ball in his hands, he's going to make guys miss. He's slippery. He's quick. He's fast. He's going to do those things for you. He's not a bad prospect. Like, you know, I groaned earlier because, you know, people are like, oh, Brevin Jordan's a second round pick, and I think he's really good. And it's like, no, I mean, like, he's fine. You know, like, I draft him in like the third round or the fourth round. But I just think he's a little bit overrated. That's why I groaned. I don't really have a problem with him. I just think he's raw, and he's going to take a couple of years to, like, you know, you need to teach him how to run routes. You need to teach him how to make plays at the catch point. You know, you need to teach him how to block. There's some development that needs to be done. But the athlete on film, because he actually didn't test that well, which is even scarier. The athlete on film is incredibly good, and that is a weapon in today's NFL. So if he goes to the right team in the right system and they give him a chance to develop and they don't rush him to play early, yeah, he could turn out to be a really good tight end. But right now, I think he's a bit of a projection.
Yep. Is there any other tight ends worth mentioning? Are there any sleepers, whether it's a Nick Eubanks, Hunter Long, Noah Gray? Is there anybody that sort of stands out?
Yeah, Long I like. He's my tight end 4. I have him ranked higher than Brevin Jordan. He's just solid. You know, he's a big kid. He's probably the best blocking tight end in this class. Long arms, good catch radius, really strong hands. He's a solid route runner, but like just doesn't have a ton of juice. He's not very fast. He's not going to beat guys in the open field. You know, he kind of reminds me of like a Kyle Rudolph type player who like isn't bad. You know, Kyle Rudolph is fine. You know, that's kind of what Hunter Long reminds me of. I really like Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, redshirt sophomore. He's one of the better athletes in this class, kind of like Brevin Jordan, except I think Tremble actually brings a ton to the table as a blocker. I think you bring him in and you know, he can give you reps as a tight end too early in his career because he's such a good blocker. So I think that gives him an edge on a player like Brevin Jordan. But athletically, they're comparable. You know, Tremble's fast. Tremble is quick. He can run routes. He's got very good hands. You know, he's a little bit bigger than Brevin as well. So I really like, you know, I like Tremble and Long and Jordan. It's kind of like, you know, that they round out my top 5. Outside of that, it's just players that I would stay away from, frankly. Just a lot of red flags. Guys who are billed as athletes on tape and then they ran a 4.7. You know, you got guys who honestly might be better off at like fullback or H-back. You know, you got Kerry Angeline from NC State, who, like, I don't know, his pro comp's like a steel ladder. The dude can't bend. There's just not a lot there, Mike. There really isn't. You know, it's for me, it's those 5. It's Pitts, Freiermuth, Tremble, Long, Jordan. If you're not getting one of those 5, would not draft a tight end this year, quite frankly.
And when it comes to the Dolphins, honestly, if they're not going to take Pitts, they're probably not going to take a tight end because they're they have a type tight end. They have a very deep tight end room already. So if Pitts obviously is a totally different level, but if it's not him, they're not taking any of these other guys. Now, we're going to close out here with quarterbacks, so we're not going to spend a lot of time because obviously the Miami Dolphins at pick number 5 last year took a quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. So they're not taking one here at the top of round one, no matter what anybody tells you in the national media. So let's just start off with the big names, Lance, Fields, Lawrence, Wilson. Just how do you have them ranked? We don't need to go in depth because none of these guys are playing for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, I'll literally just name them. Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Lance for me. That's the top four.
And all four should go in round one.
All four should go in the top 10.
Top 10.
Now, they are all exceptionally good.
Yep. Mac Jones. I know people are all over the board. We've heard rumors San Francisco with 3 might be in love with them and all this stuff. Where do you have Mac Jones?
Oh, man. I got killed for this on Twitter the other day. But when I grade quarterbacks, I don't believe in day two quarterbacks. You're either a franchise passer or you're a backup. And if you're a backup, I grade you on day 3 because that's where I value backups. To me, Mac Jones is a backup. So I have a day 3 grade on Mac Jones. He's my quarterback 6. I just don't see it. I really don't. And I know that I'm, you know, look, Mac's probably going to go in the top 10, right? Like that. The buzz
absolutely
at this
shocking.
Point. Oh, I agree. I think it's absolutely outrageous. But there's too much fire, right? Like someone's going to do it, whether it's, you know, Carolina gets screwed and they have to do it, or, you know, I don't know, San Francisco. I don't know what they're, you know, kind of drugs they're doing out there on the West Coast right now, if they're going to draft Mac Jones at 3, but if they end up, someone's going to do it, right? Like it's going to happen. There's too much smoke. I don't get it. The dude is just like, look, if the year was 1992, he'd be the first pick in the draft. He's a tall dude who ran not even a pro style offense really, but whatever. You know, he's like very much the prototype West Coast quarterback from a big time school. You know, he stood and earned his right to start and he won the national championship, you know, all that old school crap. That's Mac Jones, and that's fine. That's a backup in today's NFL. I'm sorry. It just is. If you can't run and you're not mobile, you're just not going to be an elite quarterback unless you're Tom Brady, right? Like, Tom is the last one left. You know, Breeze is gone. Rivers is gone. Russell Wilson's mobile. Aaron Rodgers is kind of the guy who started this revolution, really, or maybe even Brett Favre, honestly. But, like, whatever. That's not the point. I'm getting off topic. I don't understand this, like, infatuation with Mac Jones. People are like, oh, he's so smart or he's so pro ready. The dude ran like an offense that was like 40% RPOs. Like, what are you talking about? It's just like, I don't understand. He's fine. This makes me sound like I hate Mac Jones. I think he's perfectly fine. I really do. He's a backup quarterback. He could be a spot starter. His ceiling is Kirk Cousins. And if that's what you like, go for it. But like, I don't know why you would draft that player in the top 10.
Well, here's the thing.
It's baffling to me.
If he falls out of the top 10 for some reason, say a bunch of these teams wake up and he falls out of the top 10, I guarantee you he will go either 15 to New England or he will go 19 to the Washington football team because those two teams need young quarterbacks. So, look, he's going in round one. I mean,
yes, he is.
He could go anywhere from 3 to 19, I think. If he gets past 19, you're going to have Pittsburgh maybe at 24. You could see a team like the Saints if they want to just have someone in the pipeline ready to go. I mean, you could see even Tampa Bay at pick number 32. They got to start getting ready at some point here. He's going to go in round one. It's just what team and how high will he go? So it's going to be interesting to see there. Now, once again, I don't want to spend a ton of time, so let's talk about the guys. Now, those guys are all going round one. Is there anybody who you think will go rounds 2 or 3? Because I don't really see anybody who should go there.
There's nobody that should go there. But
somebody
like,
probably will.
I am not putting it past the NFL to like draft Kellen Mond in the second round because he can throw
crazy.
The ball 70 yards. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
I'm not putting it past them. I hope it like I don't. I agree with you. There should not be. There should be 4 quarterbacks, but there's going to be 5 that go in the first round, and there should be about a 3-round gap between before the next quarterback is drafted. But I would not put it past the NFL to draft one in the middle rounds.
So let's get to Saturday, because I think if Miami does anything at quarterback, it's going to be to get, you know, obviously Tua Tagovailoa is their guy, and Jacoby Brissett's on a one-year deal. They would, if they can get a younger guy to groom to be a number two, not to replace him, to just to be, you know, a solid number two, so maybe they don't have to re-sign a Jacoby Brissett, and they can give him a year to just, you know, work with him and work with Tua, sort of, you know, the old school way. You find a guy late in the draft, you groom him, and maybe he's your solid number two. And I think for Miami, that they won't even consider that till at least round four and obviously on. I don't think they're going to use one of their top 80 picks here on a quarterback. But come round four, all bets are off, because at a certain point in the draft, you really are just kind of throwing darts at players. So let me give you some names. So here's three names, I guess. Trask at Florida, Sam Eilinger at Texas, if I said the name right, because I know I saw him play a few times. He's not awful. And then Mond from Texas A&M. I think those are going to be probably the next group of guys that sort of go off the board, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting. They kind of bring – Mond is a player who, like, he has been a three-year starter at Texas A&M, okay? He's been on NFL draft radars for 3 years. I have seen probably close to, like – I probably watched, like, 24 games of Kellen Mond. I have no idea if he's good or not. Like, he's just such a weird football player, man. Like, I have never seen – he'll come out for some games, and he looks like Brett Favre. He's running around the field, chucking bullets 60 yards down the field.
I saw him in the Florida game.
Yeah.
He looked great in the Florida game.
He has some games where he's nuts, a man possessed. You know, he's running around the yard, 500 yards, five touchdowns. He's throwing NFL post routes, you know, beating cover two on the outside. Like, he's got some crazy flashes. However, intermittent in those crazy plays that he makes are like some of the worst throws I've ever seen. It's just like mind-blowing how inconsistent a player can be who's been on the field for this long. I mean, I've seen the dude stare directly at linebackers in short zone coverage and just throw him the football for like no reason and just throw like a weird interception. Mond is just so weird. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I like, maybe if you want to draft him in like the seventh round to be like a developmental guy on the practice squad, fine. But I am not spending anything resembling value on him, even though I think he's got one of the higher ceilings outside of the top five.
It's, you know, a big like investment of time.
Yeah,
you're going to have to do a ton of work with him.
You're going to have to spend like, I mean, I don't even think it's worth it. Like, you're just better off just spending it with whoever your starter is at that point. And then the second name you brought up, Trask. Look, man, he's a good kid. He runs the offense.
I love when you start with, he's a good kid. I'm waiting for the avalanche of negativity to come now. This is great.
That's fine, but like,
he helps old ladies across the street. Good guy.
Yeah, he is. But like, man, it looks like he's throwing into the wind every time he lets the ball out of his hands. Every pass is a floater. The dude's got no fastball at all. Every pass is a floater. It looks like he's throwing into a blizzard sometimes. And, like, I just don't – he doesn't have the arm. He doesn't. Like, he just cannot generate enough momentum to make high-caliber NFL throws. Now, can you do what you talked about and you bring him in and maybe he's your quarterback too because he runs the offense, he's smart, he doesn't make mistakes? Can you win football games with him if you're the Dolphins and you have a really good defense that year? Yeah, maybe. Wouldn't bet on it, though. He's a terrible athlete, and his arm is just, like, not there. Like, it just, I don't know how else to describe it. He just can't drive the football down the field with any velocity.
How about the kid from Texas?
Yeah, Eilinger is interesting. He is, I mean, honestly, I thought he was a tight end before this year. He's a big kid. He's very, very physical with the ball in his hands. He improved a lot this year. I don't want to make it sound like I'm crapping on him too much, because like, he did get a lot better. Like, I think he's a quarterback now. He can throw some anticipation. He's got like some arm strength, but like, man, you have to rebuild his mental processing from the ground up. Like, the way that he sees the field is just not good. And even if you do that, I mean, he doesn't really have a great arm. He's better arm than Trask, but like, you know, the bar is on the floor at that point. So, I don't know. He's a good leader. He's a good runner. You know, you could use him in, like, wildcat situations in the red zone. Like, I don't know. That could be cool. The Dolphins are kind of creative in that way. So, like, you know, he's you know, I mean, if you want to play him as like Taysom Hill, you know, like he's that type of player, maybe, but I don't see it. I really don't. I think there's too much work that needs to be done there, rebuilding the way that he sees the field. So, look, man, there's like four quarterbacks at the top. There are maybe two guys I'd take a shot on, and then after that, I would be out. Like, I just don't think there's anybody worth spending anything of value on. If you want to get someone as a UDFA, be my guest. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't care who you get as UDFAs, they're UDFAs. But, like, this quarterback class, this is not the class to find a backup either. Like,
it's not.
It's just
not. You look
not.
At this group, you got guys like Felipe Franks, who I've never been impressed with. Even Ian Book from Notre Dame. How Notre Dame won as many games as they did with him at quarterback is a mystery I'll never solve. Because I've seen him play a ton, and I just don't see much with Ian Book. And you might be able to get away with that, once again, in the ACC, but you won't be able to get away with that in the NFL. There is one person at quarterback who the Miami Dolphins must draft and take and wait till the end of the draft just because of his name alone, from Appalachian State, Zach Thomas. Miami Dolphins take Zach Thomas from Appalachian State. All is good with the world, and I don't think any fan would have a problem with it. Just being funny, folks, not serious. But, yeah, this is a bad quarterback class. It's a bad tight end class. It's a bad quarterback class. It's a great wide receiver class. And I will say this, too. The best thing to happen to the Miami Dolphins the past calendar year, yes, winning 10 games was great. The day the Jets didn't get Trevor Lawrence and they won a couple games and they fell out and they beat the Rams and they won some other games. Time of day win. I think they won two in the end, right? It's great because Zach Wilson, I ain't all that impressed with him. And I'm not that impressed. There's something about him where it's not even with the on-the-field play and the arm strength. All that's there. I've heard him give a couple interviews, and he reminds me of a cross between Johnny Manziel and a younger Baker Mayfield, like year one or two Baker, when he ran his mouth way too much. And I think this kid, you put him in New York City with that media, because he was already talking about how he's going to bring his swag to where he goes, and he's got this attitude, and I've got the great. And if he was going to, like, I don't know, St. Louis, or if he was going to some, well, St. Louis doesn't have a team, but you know what I mean. If he's going to someplace in the Midwest or someplace down south like the Titans, nobody's going to care. New York City will eat him alive. I think New York City is going to eat him alive. I think that's a bad fit of player and team, and we can play this back in like 5 years. And if the guys win a Super Bowl, I'll look like a fool. But I just think it's a bad fit of player and team for the Jets and him. I don't know. The Jets, I know you can't tell teams to lose on purpose, this, that, and the other. But how they didn't end up with Trevor Lawrence, because that team was built so poorly last year. Frank Gore's your number one running back. They didn't have one wide receiver to speak of. Mims is good, but he was hurt for the first, I don't know how many games he didn't even play. Offensive line was terrible. Joe Flacco out there at times. Yep. He couldn't move. The fact they actually won one game, let alone two, to not get Lawrence is a thing that Miami Dolphins fans should just kiss the ground every morning and think, because I don't want Lawrence anywhere near the AFC East. And I look at guys like Lance, Fields, and Wilson. Maybe they're good, but I think at best they're just good. They're guys. I don't see Fields ever holding a Lombardi trophy over his head.
Really?
I don't. I mean, I think he's good. I'm not saying he can't be a quality NFL starter who can take a team to a playoffs or even win a division. I think he's good, but I don't see him as a guy who's going to transform an entire organization, put a team on his back, and be like, oh my God, we got to play Justin Fields. You know what I mean? I don't see that. And Lance, I kind of like, I like him more than most, I would say. I think Lance is something to work with. But the Wilson, he's got the tools. The attitude scares me, though, and that's a bad fit in New York.
Man, I'm a lot higher on those three guys.
I know
guys.
Look,
think they're fantastic,
they deserve to get picked,
man.
Where they're getting picked. They deserve to get picked where they're getting picked.
All right.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, when you look at last year's class with Joe Burrow, Herbert, and with Tua, I'm like, okay, those are three guys who, if Miami end up with any one of them, I'd be really happy. Because I think all three of them, and I said that going, and I was higher on Herbert, when everyone was sort of talking him down and comparing him to Ryan Tannehill, which made no sense.
I remember.
I was higher on Herbert than most. And I was fine if he ended up in Miami. And with these guys, Lawrence, yeah, obviously, no questions there. These other three, to me, they're good, but I don't know if they're going to transform an organization. And when you take a quarterback at the top of round one, you're looking for a guy who's going to transform your organization, your face of the franchise, the guy who, you know, two or three or four times a year when the team's having an off day, he's going to put the team on his back and carry them to a win. I don't know if those three guys have that ability. I think they might be able to do it once a year, maybe twice a year. But, you know, a superstar NFL quarterback, which if you're taking a guy this high, you want a superstar NFL quarterback.
I mean, I don't know. All of them are going to be ranked higher than Justin Herbert for me.
Yeah.
I really like Justin Fields. Like, I think he's...
I can see it.
I think he's really... I don't know, man. I'm just really high on all four of these guys. I think all four of these guys are going to be franchise quarterbacks, hopefully. I mean, obviously, statistically, they won't be because that's just not how it works. But, like, as far as prospects are concerned, I mean, like, this is about as good as the top of a quarterback class gets. I mean, you're not, like... When you have four guys rated this highly, this consistently, like, that does not happen very often. I don't know. I'm much higher on these guys. I think these guys, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about the Jets if they get, I mean, maybe I love Zach Wilson. I discovered Zach Wilson in July. I don't want to like flex on everybody on that, but like Wilson's my dude. But I have Justin Fields ranked higher than him. I would be scared of Justin Fields in a Kyle Shanahan offense with the offensive line that the Jets are building. Like that scares me a little bit. He's really good, man. Like he's really good.
And I do think that's how this will play out. I do think San Francisco at the end of the day will wake up and realize we can't take Mac Jones at three. I think they're going to end up with Fields. And then it comes down to what does Atlanta want to do? Because Trey Lance to Atlanta is actually a perfect fit because Lance is going to need a little bit more time than maybe some of the others to probably get on the field. And they already got Matt Ryan, who I know they just redid his contract before a year or two. Okay, that's fine. And then you have Lance sort of waiting in the wings. I think if Atlanta does go quarterback, Lance might be the perfect fit there. It's good. Once again, who knows what Atlanta will do. But it's going to be interesting because all four of those guys, like you said, they're all going in the top 10. And they could go 1, 2, 3, 4 very easily. Or they're going to go 1, 2, 3. You know, 8. You know what I mean? It's going to be something like that, probably. Or maybe 1, 2, 3, 7 if someone slides up with the Lions to take one. So, yeah, I mean, they deserve to go where they're going, but we'll see how this plays out. Dante's was a long one, but we got through all the offense now in two shows. So, the next couple shows, we're going to hit the defensive side of the ball. We still have to do defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, safety. And in one of those shows, we'll throw in kickers, because you got to count the kickers. Got to give and the punters. Come on. I mean, every year, everyone laughs, but they're starting to go earlier and earlier rounds of the draft. You get one
team. I have not watched a single kicker and punter.
You haven't watched one kick? Well, now you got homework. Okay, so, Dante, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me at Dante Colonelli, DanteColonelli. And you can find all my Dolphins work on DolphinsTalk.com.
All right, everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.